I'm like, oh, this is just how everybody lives. No. This is how we live. This is how we live. And we fail to recognize how it's been distorted, how it's been ruined down through the ages. The other one that's really close to our hearts as Westerners is democracy. It was born from the Greeks in the 6th century before Jesus was born. It's a system of government where the majority gets to shape the culture through a voting process. Again, on its own, democracy is fine. I could pick basically any kind of government system, and on its own, it's fine. But it's when you introduce the work of the evil one, the god of this age, in concert with human hearts, this is where things go sideways. Do you remember that story in the Old Testament where Israel wanted to have their own king? Yes? All right, good. Thank you. One. There's a story in the Old Testament where Israel comes to God and says, we would like to have our own king. We want to be like the other nations. And God says, no. You don't want to be like the other nations. No, actually, we do. No, you don't. Yeah, we do. Okay, here's your king. At this moment, theocracy ends. Theocracy is a big fancy word where God's people look to God to solve problems. There's a beautiful story in the book of Isaiah where Isaiah is telling Israel, do not go to war with the Egyptians. Do not go to war with the Egyptians. Do not go to war. Do not go to war. Turn, ask God, pray to him. He will fix this. He will solve the problem. And the Israelite people are like, no, this is what we do. Like, if there's a nation that's going to war against us, we will get our horses and our chariots and our swords, and we will go to war against them. And they go to war, and guess what happens? They get mowed over by the Egyptians. I would have loved that story to be different. I would have loved that moment in the people of God's history where they didn't go to war, they did what God asked them to do, and watch God solve that problem on their own. It would have been a great lesson for democracies of our day that think, well, this is just what nations do. This is just what people do. When we go to war, everyone kind of mounts up, gets their swords, now it's tanks, and away we go. This is why God said, I don't want you to have a king. I don't want you to be like other nations. And listen, it could have been any system. It could have been, we'd like to have our own democratic society. No. We would like to have our own monarch. No. It's any system of government. And here's why. Because it leads us away from God to solve the problems of our day. And we wrongfully put them in the hands of humans. Humans. And this fall, we watched millions of Christ followers, nonetheless, divert attention from God and put them in the hands of a human that still I can't get my head around. I still can't. I'll quote this to you. I am the only one who can solve the problems of America's systems today. I'm the only one. And Christ followers believed him. And they believed him. And millions of people will remain apart from God because we look to our politicians. Listen, I love the system that we're in. I love the fact that we get to vote freely. I love. But listen, I don't put any hope in any of my political leaders to actually do, particularly if it's majority rules, to do the Christ-honoring thing. It is a fallacy to think that the majority are going to line up under the reign and rule of the kingdom of heaven. It is ridiculous to suggest that stuff. And number two, in this system, people hate each other. Just watch how conservatives speak of liberals. Watch any news network. And watch the Republicans speak of the Democrat, or vice versa, the Democrat of the Republican, or the conservatives in Canada versus the liberals and New Democrats and Green Party and the Bloc Quebec and all the other system people that we have. Watch how they just interact with one another. There are churches in the West. Chances are it's true of other places, but there are, I know them here, where if you're not a Republican, you're not welcome here. If you're not a Democrat, you're not welcome here. How bizarre is it that a system that we celebrate as almost as if it's Christian actually divides human beings and causes them to hate each other and their ideas and their philosophies of life? The God of this age, make no mistake, has been at work in spectacular ways, ruining and destroying the things that we have made. Now, let's get on to the things that God has made. What church? What chance? does a young girl have to grow up and see herself as though she's a beautiful creation of the King? What chance does she have when she grows up in a world when commercial after commercial, when picture after picture, when movie after movie, all clearly communicates to her that it is her body that matters more than anything else? I have 3 daughters of my own. And I already see these forces at work in their life. Do you know what it's like trying to get a snowsuit on my 7-year-old in January? The reason they protest, can you take a guess? It makes me look fat. It's January! Put your snowsuit on! Or we're going to set you outside with no snowsuit and then you'll really love them. But I see it getting played out in their lives. At 5, at 7, and at 9. The clothes that they're told to buy, the way their hair is supposed to go, I see these forces at work in their life. The God of this world will wreak havoc in millions of girls' lives, all clearly saying that they are not a valued creation of the King. But this is where you find value. What chance does a young boy have to grow up with a pure heart as it relates to women? Do you know that every single week of every single year there are 211 pornographic movies made in California, just California? 211. All clearly communicating awful things that shape young men's minds, particularly young men's minds. There are 30,000 pages launched every day in the internet. I knew the internet was evil. Listen, anything that we make, we don't make it with this in mind, but this is where the evil one takes it and runs with it and ruins and destroys it. Magazine cover, we go to Sobeys and we shop there. And well, I have an 11-year-old son. And we're waiting in line. And he's looking at the magazines. And he's kind of at that age where it's like, when he was 5, girls were gross and they just weren't interested to him. And now it's kind of like. And he looks up at me and I'm like. And there's these, I see his own, like, innocence being just image after image after image after image. All clearly communicating to him that women are not daughters of God created by him, but rather objects to be had. And it gets played out all the time. All the time. What chance does marriage have when in our context and culture, people will live together like they're married, have no interest in being married, but want the commitment and dedication of marriage, but don't want the lifelong covenant of what that is? Like, what chance does it have? What chance do we have of being good stewards of treasure and money and gifts that we've been given from God? When everything in our world tells us to buy this product right now. Right now. Like before you leave here right now. There's only 13 left. $5 shipping and handling. It's 19% interest over 27 months. This is how great that product is. And every now and again, we give in to that. Well, that really is a good product. I'll never forget the day, and you don't ever tell this to my wife. I ordered one of these like late night things and it showed up at the door and he was like, "What is this?" I'm like, "Never mind." It was one of those like ad things. It was trash within 30 seconds. Within 30 seconds, one of the most embarrassing moments of my life when Amy's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Wrong address. His name's Bill." What chance do we have for healthy relationships to naturally and godly kind of unfold when we are told that if not by the first, certainly the second date, there has to be some kind of sexual activity to find out whether or not we're compatible? I'll just say this to you. I've been married for 16 years, and we're just hitting our stride right now. And it's been a blast figuring it out. It's been a blast. Do you know why? Because she's there tomorrow. And every day, what chance do we have when Satan just takes the things that God has made and distorts them so fast, and we line up so quick, all to bring about hell in our life now, leading us into a space that's absolute hell? What chance do we have for different people groups to come together from all over the world, whether we're black or white or Latinos, First Nations, Asians, or others? When we have our political leaders who are deliberately doing things to allow us to almost look at each other as though there's something wrong with one another. Where we speak of other people's religions in ways that are offensive. Do I think that they're wrong? Yes, I do, but I'm not mean about it. I don't have to be an idiot, if I can use that word. I don't have to be a tool of the evil one to discourage them from ever considering who Jesus Christ is. And by the way, when I speak that way, I don't point them to Jesus at all. They say, if this is what your God does, I want nothing to do with him. There's enough of the hatred and those things in the world. Why would I sign up and just create another cult, if you will? The God of this age, the evil one, has been at work in this world from the fall and continues to be at work every single day, tirelessly ruining God's design and the things that we make to create living hells for you now so that you might experience that in its fullness at your death. It is my hope that you would actually begin to recognize some of this stuff as it gets played out in our world. And I know when I was kind of getting ready for this morning, I'm like, we go to a pretty low place, and it's kind of like, well now what? Well, it's simple. I'm going to ask you some questions and hope that God's Spirit would be at work in your life. And here they are. What if I'm guilty because I've participated in the way in which it's been distorted? Like, what if that's part of my story? What if I was one of those examples that you just highlighted? What if right now I'm participating in one of those examples that you just highlighted? What if I'm caught up in the God of this age's way of life and I was innocently ignorant of it, and I just thought this is how we did life. I was unaware that there was another way of doing life. Well, the scripture speaks into this. Very, very clearly, I want to throw them up on the screen. And it's a beautiful word. It's the word repentance, or repent. And this is what that word means. It basically means to turn around from the way I was going. That I'm headed north, and I'm confronted with a set of details or reality or whatever the case might be, and it stops me from going north, and I deliberately go the other way, and I head south. And that's repentance, where I've been told something to be true from Jesus' perspective. I'm headed this way, and I will turn around, and I will head the other way in response to what Jesus has to say on matters of life and living. And these three passages of Scripture, if you have a Bible, highlight them. Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Acts 17:30, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Acts 26:20, they should repent and turn to God. Listen, the concept of repentance is all through the scriptures. And it leads to life, according to Acts 11:18. Repentance leads to life. I get out of a system, a way of life that's bringing death or hell on earth that will one day lead to that in its fullness. And I get into life in part now that will one day lead to fullness at my death, where I live with Christ forever and ever. I want to be clear with you this morning, if I can. Whether you like this or not, whether you philosophically can get your head around this or not, the moment we are born, we are headed towards absolute destruction. That's where we're headed. And it will be fully realized at your death. And at that moment, it's awful. It's awful. And some of you are like, well, my life's been pretty awful. I know. And yet, as awful as it's been, it's a cakewalk for what is to come in its fullness. As awful as it's been, it's a cakewalk for what is to come in its fullness. And God out of love said, I want to save them from that here and now and what is to come. And he sends his son into the world and he says to anyone who will listen, will you trust me? Will you follow me? Will you put all your eggs in this basket? Because I'm going to do for you something that you cannot do for yourself. I will deal with the problem of sin. I will deal with the problem of the evil one. I will do all of these things. All I need you to do is trust me and follow me by faith. It's all we need to do. And it leads to life. Because we come to recognize that Jesus is a great king and has done great things for his citizens. And we live in a new reality under the reign and rule of Christ. And how we live in that kingdom shapes how we live in our own systems. It shapes how we do life in all of the things, in all of the ways that we do life. I want to ask you some questions because this is the second layer of application. I know that many of you here this morning, you are Christ followers. At some point in your life, you have repented. You've made Jesus your king. And it's been your desire to kind of grow in that every day of your life. And I know we go through seasons where this week was awesome, last week wasn't so awesome, this month was great, last month was rough. Like, I understand, but generally speaking, it's kind of up and to the right as we grow in our love for the Lord. But I want to ask you some questions, and I'm going to gear them towards like the business community and then also just some relationship stuff to help you process how I live as a son or daughter of the king and his kingdom in the context of capitalism and democracy. Number one, do the relationships you have in your business, do they matter more to you than your bottom line? Do the relationships that you share with people matter more to you than the profits that you make? Do you know how many times I've heard people say this expression? Don't take this personal. This is just business. The one who is on the receiving end of that, do you know what? They take it personal. And to hide behind this is just good business, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. Christian man, Christian woman, as you follow the Lord in His kingdom, how do you practice business from a kingdom of God perspective? Yeah, but I might go broke. You don't know. You've never tried. You've never seen God move in your business in a way that is one that reflects the kingdom of God, because we've just been ignorantly doing business the way everybody else does business, because this is all that there is, we've been told. There might be an actual different way to do this. My favorite one, do you talk to your employers about what shapes your life? Do you talk to the men and women that you employ about Jesus? Well, you can't do that on the job site. Why can't you? Well, there's laws for that. Yeah, and there's laws that say I can. Yeah, but it might be awkward. It's going to be awkward. Like, I'll just kind of let you in on it. It's going to be awkward. But this is the work. This is the call. This is the purpose. Followers of Jesus Christ, as it relates just to your general way of life, how do you speak of people that are of the opposite gender? What are the jokes that you tell? What do you say when no one's around? How do you interact with them? There is a distinct way Christ followers do this, as revealed in Jesus Christ Himself. How do we speak of people from a different country? Or to you islanders, how do you speak of people who are not from here? I love Eugene Peterson. In one of his books, he says that we as Christ followers live in a colony of heaven in the context of the country of death. And this is what it is. We live in the colony of heaven in the country of death for the glory of Christ first. And it shapes everything. We are called into this world out of darkness into marvelous light to declare the good news of Christ and push back spaces where the evil one is at work. This is the point of your life if you love the Lord. There is no other point to it. Yes, work. so that you can do this. Yes, make money so that you can fund this. Yes, do great leisure times. Yes, with your kids so that in them you can point them to this. This is the point. This is the call. There is no other kind of purpose behind it. Satan is at work. He's alive and well, and he has one goal, and that is to bring people, usher people in to a glorious hell. And it begins now in this life. Many of you have already touched it, felt it, experienced it, and maybe you currently are. And it all is this slow, gradual slope into utter destruction, where as you read the scriptures, it is a terrifying space that's awful. And Jesus comes into the world and says, I'm going to get them out of that for those who will trust me. And for those of us who've said, yeah, I want to follow the Lord, this is the work. This is the work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the hard corners of Scripture that reveal spaces of life and reality that we can be uncomfortable with. This is one of the big ones. But just because we're uncomfortable with it doesn't mean that it's not true. It's my prayer that as a people we would see how the evil one is at work, how the God of this age is at work destroying and breaking apart all the things that you have made and all the things that we make, so that we might rage against it in the great and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.